gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Bienvenido a Radio Teco. My name is Alexis Terrazas, editor-in-chief of El Teclote newspaper, and I am here with my homie, my colleague, and El Teclote's AV editor, and my co-host of this podcast, Monty Rossetti. Monty, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for that introduction. Man, I have so many titles, though. I think I joked around about it before. Man, yeah, it's my resume is just getting filled with all these titles, man. Thanks, Alexis.
Cuidado, I might give you another one, you know, but that's, we'll
get to wait, that. Wait, can you clear it with me before you throw it on in one of these episodes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see, man. No, pero seriamente, man, it's always a pleasure to be with you, man. I'm always excited. This project that we have, which just actually turned about a month and a half. I'm just super, just really grateful that you know, helped us get to this point, and I'm just, every time we drop an episode, I'm just really, really mad excited. So thank you, Monty. And what we got right now is another arts and culture episode. So for those tuning in, you know, let them know who we got on today and what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, this time we were able to talk to Afro-Latino musician Rakadun, who's born in Panama City, but grew up as well in Oakland. So he's a semi-local. Well, you know what? We're going to take him as one of our own. He's a Bay Area local musician. Super proud of everything he's been doing. And yeah, I mean, he's been having, he's been talking about things, you know, just mainstream, but also political for years and years and years. And again, you know, we're in a time period where politically and just society wise, there's so many issues going on around here. And I think having a voice like Rakadun was, it's a good time to have him on and kind of get a little bit of insight from somebody like him.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely agreed. And, you know, we're a little bit past like the year point into this pandemic, you know, and, you know, we recorded this episode in January, you know, a lot of things were happening, you know, I mean, even since then, a lot of things that have happened. And I know for me, just being able to digest like really amazing art, music included, has been one of the things that has helped guide me through this pandemic and help keep me sane. And Rakadun, I am really proud to say, was one of those artists. You know, we'll be talking about this in the episode, but he dropped a song at the end of last year called Libertad, which was a real awesome. If y'all haven't heard it, hit pause right now and go play this song. It's dope. But it's like a call to
action.
But
come back though. And
yeah, come back. Right.
Listen to the rest of this episode.
Yeah. Because we promise you'll love it. Yeah, man. And he touches on so many things. But as you said too, like we got to learn, you know, about him, his journey as an artist and as a dad, right? I'm a dad of twins. So I always geek out on like, you know, how other fathers are handling their business, right? But, you know, I feel like what you were saying, there's a whole lot of happening right now. And it's really important for us, like, to get through this pandemic, to be able to, like, digest art that brings us joy, but also to support artists who are actually saying something. And I feel like Rakadun definitely hits those points. So yeah, man, like I said, I'm really excited to have him on today. But yeah, Monty, enough of me talking. Let's hear what Rakadun has to say.
I'm excited for this moment. Thank you, Rakadun, for being on our podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good at the house with the baby. I'm chilling.
Perfect. I'm happy you said that in case the listeners hear some crying in the background. Let's get into this right now. Raka, let's talk about where you're from. Before we talk about what motivates you and everything, where are you from? What's your origin story?
Man, I'm from Panama City. I was born there. And I mean, I came to Oakland when I was 14. Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. My family from mother side got descendants from Jamaica, you know. It's a whole mix, you know. My grandma, her father, from father's side, her father was French, but he was black French, so he probably some type of African that we don't really know. And then and her mama was native Panamanian, you know what I mean? So it's a whole bunch of mix over there in Panama.
Y platícanos un poquito, Raka. Tell us where the name Raka comes from. I know you've explained it in various interviews, but for our listeners tuning in, yeah, where'd you guys get that name?
Yeah, man, me and my cousin Raka Rich, man, we were going back and forth with names. Like, okay, now that we are a duo, because we were solo artists, you know, we all have always done solo music. But then we started making music, and then the people was like, man, you guys should be a duo. Like you guys kill the stage. I got crazy chemistry, you know what I mean? So we're like, man, now that we're going to be officially a duo, what's going to be a name? And we were going back and forth. And Rico was like, Los Rakas, and he started laughing. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And he's like, nah, I'm playing, bro. He's like, nah, like, you sure? Like, that's good. Like, I don't know. People in Panama are going to look at us crazy. Because at the time, you know, Raka Taka in Panama was like discriminatory word for people from the ghetto, you know what I mean? But us being in United States, and we realized that pop culture is culture from the ghetto, you know what I mean? Like that's the dope culture. That's where everybody gets the swag from. That's where everybody gets everything from, you know what I mean? So we're like, first of all, people gonna know that we're from Panama as soon as they hear Los Rakas. And then also to inspire the youth from where we from, be like, okay, they Rakas, they where we from, and they made it big, we could do it too. And to teach the people, like, you know, just because we hood people doesn't mean that we negative, that we thugs, that we, you know what I mean? So it was like for those three reasons. And then I seen it like the movement, because, you know, I was really into Malcolm X at the time. I still am, but I was barely learning about Malcolm X, and I would see how the brother Islams, that would be like calling each other brother Malcolm, brother such and such. So it was like, I was like, man, we could call ourselves Raka Dun, Raka Rich, Raka Felipe, and then create a whole movement, you know what I mean? And that's exactly what happened. You know, people all over the world got a logo tattoo, tied it on them, and it became a movement, man.
How has the response been in Panama? You said that you weren't sure with the name Raka was going to have a negative effect in Panama. How has that been received by Los Panameños?
It's been received good, man. It's been received good. Over there is a bunch of Raka. You know, some people still like, you know, when we go to a radio station, you know, because we're not like, we are like people in Panama love us, you know what I mean? But we're not Drake in Panama that everybody know who we are, you know what I mean? So when we go to radio stations or something, you're like, yeah, tell them Los Rakas is here. We're like, Los Rakas? Rakas? What kind of name is that? You know what I mean? But now the people have accepted it, man. You know, we have our clothing line. And over there, every time a store make an order, it sells out, you know what I mean? So the movement is pretty well received in Panama. Thanks God.
And real quick, Raka, like next question, I want to lay out some context first, right? So especially like this year, we've seen a lot of, last year technically, we saw a lot of like uprisings, right? Finally, people starting to like, I mean, people have always fought against depression in this country and throughout the world, but it just reached a boiling point, right? During the summer. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, right? And various other names. And for a long time, I think in this country, like we kind of separated, you know, the black community versus Latino or Latinx community. You as an Afro Panameño, you know, belonging, having feet in both, so to speak, right? And in terms of your music, right? How do you see your music, you know, fitting in this fight against oppression here? You know, against various communities in the United States.
Man, we're not political artists, but in Oakland, you know, it's like you cannot be from Oakland and ignore, you know, be like the revolutionary roots and you cannot be an artist in Oakland. I mean, you can, you know what I mean, but it's like it's weird, you know what I mean, like. For example, Tupac is a great example of it. You know what I mean? Tupac would have songs for the girls He would have songs to have fun. He would have songs for to ride to. But he also has songs that he's saying something. You know what I mean? And that's basically how we grew up, you know. It's not, and then we grew up in the youth organizations, you know, Youth Speaks, Youth Together, Bump, you know what I mean? And they would teach us about all of that. You know, man, use your voice, man, use your voice, use your platform to say something. You know what I mean? School, it's cool that we entertaining, because we entertainer, you know what I mean? It's cool that we're making people dance, but also make people think, you know what I mean? And that's basically our approach on it, you know? And yeah, with the Son Libertad, I'm pretty sure you're gonna ask me about that. That's pretty much it, you know? We've been talking about this since 2005, though, you know what I mean? With our first mixtape, the Panabé Twist, we had a song right there against police brutality, you know what I mean? So this is something that we've been talking about since we were in high school, you know, about being Afro-Latino. I tatted Afro-Latino on me right here. It was my first tattoo when I was 16, 17 years old, you know what I mean? So that's something that we've always been talking about. It's not, like I said, we're not political artists, but you got to say something.
No, I mean, like we're saying, people have finally are talking about the systemic racism here in the U.S. It's a conversation that's been had by regular people a lot now in the last few months, which is a positive. But you guys have been talking about this for a while. Yeah. I want to go to your song "Sueño Americano," which the music video, the story you tell is amazing. Do you think, with the fact that people are talking today now about these changes, do you think we're going to finally achieve that? And I'm doing massive air quotes on the American dream. Do you think that possibility is going to be able to happen anytime soon for the Black and Brown people because of the events of 2020?
I hope so. Like, you know, all of this, you know, the internet is made it to where people cannot ignore things. You know what I mean? Back in the days, it might be a whole revolution across the street, but you're not seeing it because if you don't go across the street, you know what I mean? Now the internet, you know, you get to see everything. So hopefully this make us unite, you know, this make us unite, because I feel like that's the only solution. Like, we've been begging the government for a lot of years to please take care of us, please do this. I feel like it's either a violent revolution or us coming together, you know what I mean, that's going to fix this thing, you know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, it's 2020, it's not like back in the days, you know, we cannot use the same strategies from back in the days. I feel like you got to be more smart, you know what I mean? We got to unite. It sounds cliche, it sounds like yeah, unite. No, but it's real, though. You know what I mean? If we help each other, you know, and nobody can really mess with us. You know what I mean? If we got each other's back, my neighbor, this neighbor, you know, like, in Panama, in Sueño Americano, I say, like, what I say? Something about the neighbors. Because in Panama, you know the whole neighborhood. You know what I mean? You can leave your kid outside. You know your neighbor is going to take care of your kid. You know what I mean? Over here in the United States, you might not even talk to your neighbor. You know what I mean? You might live with them motherfuckers. I'm sorry for cussing. Next to them for 10 years. You might not even, you know what I mean? Never ate with them. Never, you know? And I feel like we just got to get each other's back. And what you need? Oh, I need this. Trade stuff, you know, trade knowledge, trade whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I do want to get into the song Libertad, but I want to ask you something before we get into that, or at least before I start asking you about that. I'd love to know, you said you came to this country, to Oakland, California, at 14. I'd love to hear about, you know, your experience growing up in Panama, Panama City, yeah. You know, growing up there, and I guess your whole journey as to, like, you know, why you left and what the experience was like. You know, maybe was there a culture shock? You know, I'm sure, you know, racism exists in Latin America, and racism obviously exists here. You know, what was that, you know, transformation adjustment like for you coming at 14?
Man, it wasn't that bad because, you know, I was in love with American culture, to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? Like seeing it on TV and seeing TV shows, you know, you see people with their young kids with their own bedrooms. You know what I mean? You see the rappers, you see. So all of that, I was in love with the fashion. I was in love with all of it. I didn't really start knowing like the truth about this country until I was in high school, you know, that's when I really started learning the history of this country and all the things that they have done to the black and brown people and stuff. But at first, I was just happy. I was just happy to come over here. I was mingling with people that didn't speak Spanish. You know, I wasn't scared of like hanging up with dudes that didn't speak Spanish. You know, we communicate by.
He's doing hand gestures if you, for the people listening to this.
You know, hand gestures and stuff like that. But yeah, it wasn't really a culture shock like that, man, because I was just juice. I was just, you know what I mean? But, you know, in high school, you know, they would have like the riots, the black and brown riots and stuff. And they would ask me, dude, whose side are you on? I'm going to a studio, brother. I go to the studio. I don't got nothing to do with this fighting. What y'all fighting about? You feel me? What y'all fighting about anyways? You know what I mean? Just because somebody else is, you know, it's crazy, man. You know, they have us, our mentality, they have our mindset crazy, you know, like fighting against each other when we really need to use that energy for something else. You know what I mean? And, I don't know. Hopefully that's changing. I feel like in the Bay Area, you know, it's more progressive, but places like LA, you know, it might be that segregation still, you know what I mean? That racial tension still, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, for me, it wasn't really a culture shock like that. Until I started learning about Malcolm X and the Black Panthers and all, that's when I got shocked. That's when I was like, what? You know, what? So this country is not all good? It's just not, you know what I mean? That's when I started learning about what, you know what I mean?
And what did your, how did your family decide to come to Oakland?
I came to Virginia to visit. Yeah, it was supposed to be, I don't know if they sent me here to stay. Because I don't know if they play with my mind. Because I was coming on vacation, you know what I mean? For like a month or two. And then my auntie in Vacaville, like, you wanna stay? You wanna stay over here and, you know, learn English, make money, help your family? You know, it sounded easy. Like, oh, hell yeah.
Sign me up.
I go over learn English, make some money, sending money back. So I came to my other auntie over here in Vacaville, and then for 6 months. Okay, that was a culture shock. That was a culture shock in Vacaville, because Vacaville, you know, is more like the country. You know, even though I have my own room, like the boys in the TV show. Yeah, I finally had my own room in Panama. I was living. You know, it was all of us in one room. It was eight of us. It was the living room and the bedroom. All of us in one bedroom. You know what I mean? My auntie, she had a little bit of money. She had a two-car garage. She had a, you know, four bedrooms, three bathrooms, you know? That was a culture shock. Because I'm like, man, I don't hear no music outside. No, you know what I mean? She was into fitness, into eating well. Like, so... It wasn't no junk food, and so, you know what I mean? Like no soda at the house. It was good. It was good. But the way she would do it, she was very militant. You know what I mean? She was like, yeah, ain't none of that junk food over here. That rap music, if your little cousin is here, don't watch that video, you know. And then he was like, man, like I came to visit my auntie in Oakland. I was like, yes. This is where I want to be. This is where I need to be. So I was in Vacaville for 6 months. And then I was like, my auntie, I want to move with my other auntie in Oakland. She's like, you sure? She started crying and stuff. I'm like, yeah, man, you too. I didn't say that to her, but my head. I'm like, man, you too harsh, man. You too hardcore, man. You know, finally, when I was older, I understood, like, okay, everything my auntie was doing was right. You know what I mean? Eating good, you know what I mean? Read books. You know what I mean? Everything she was saying was the right thing to do, but she was just doing it so militant, you know? I was used to drinking a Coca-Cola every day for dinner. If we wasn't a Coca-Cola on the table for dinner, everybody sit down. It was like, oh, the Coke. Go buy the Coke before we eat. You know what I mean? And then to go from that to no Coke, you know, a lot of, you know, that it was a culture shock for 6 months. And then I went to Oakland, and that's when I was like, man, this is more like me. You know, and I fell at home.
You can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolutionary.
Let's talk about the song You Were Dead, because it's an amazing song, and I think it does talk about a lot of the issues that we have been talking about. I do want to start off with, you use Fred Hampton's famous line, you can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution. In the beginning, you use the audio format and then use it at the end as well.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of what Fred Hampton said 50 years ago as relatable to today's issues?
Oh, definitely, man. Definitely. Like, I feel like he's one of those revolutionaries that don't really get, you know, like, the just do. You know what I mean? I feel like he was doing amazing things. He was uniting not only black people but all kind of people together. That's how I feel. That's why they killed him. You know what I mean? Because he's like, oh man, you know, back in the days, I feel like if you was talking about segregation, they didn't care. But if you was uniting with everybody, you know, that's when they would kill you. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's something he was. That was one of the reasons they killed him, and then. You know, like one of my partners said, like right now we're historians. You know how back in the days, we are the historians now. Like 30 years from now, the fans, the kids gonna look at stuff that we put up. You know what I mean? So when they see that on the cover, Fred Hampton, who's that? Now they go look it up. You know what I mean? That's one of the reasons why I put him on the cover. You know.
And what was that song came out last year, right? Mm-hmm. And so forgive me if this is a simple question, but what was like the moment for you, Rakadun, where you realized like, this is the song I'm going to put together. This is what the video is going to look like. Yeah. This is the Fred Hampton quote, the lyrics, and if for our listeners who haven't heard this song or listened to the video, I strongly recommend you do that. It's in Spanish, but it hits so, so hard and so sharply. So what would going back to my original question, you know, what was the exact moment for you that you were like, I gotta do this, and in this way, I have to do it.
Man, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. When the thing with Brother Floyd happened, I was like, I was really trying to be at peace, like mentally, you know what I mean. And I wasn't really on the internet right, like that. And then the thing happened. And I'm like, I really ain't gonna be on the internet, you know what I mean? Cause that type of stuff really, really, really hits me, you know what I mean? And I get mad, I get sad, I'm like, man, what's going on? You know what I mean? So I didn't wanna make a post, I didn't even wanna do none of that, you know what I mean? But then I talked to a few of my people, and they're like, he's like, I feel you, but right now it's not the time to just chill. You have a platform. You got to use your platform. I know you've been talking about this forever, and you know what I mean? You feel like it might be in vain, but it's not in vain. You know what I mean? You got to use your voice, you know? So I was like, okay. So that thought stayed in my mind. Now I'm just making music at the house, and my partner, sorry, my daughter. So I was at the house making music, you know, and then my partner, Panapola, a producer from Panama, sent me a beat. And I wrote like a love song to that beat. You know what I mean? I wrote like a love song to that beat, and I sent it back to him. And he was like, man, I like it, man. But this beat is more like to talk about some real stuff. You know what I mean? And I was like, Because I was about to go to sleep, and then when he sent me that text, I took it as a challenge. You know, him saying that, and then the message that my people told me about, right now is not the time to be, you know what I mean, to be quiet. Those two things inspired me to write that song, you know what I mean? I sat down and I was like, tantas cosas están pasando, el mundo se está acabando, policía corrupto, los negros siguen matando. Man, those lines came so quick, you know what I mean? It was like it was writing itself, you know what I mean? So once I started writing it, it was just, the pain just went by itself, you know what I mean? It's one of those songs. And yeah, man, one of the messages I'm trying to give on the song is like, we already know that the government don't mess with us, you know what I mean? What we got to do is unite, you know what I mean? We have the power. We have the power. We need to unite and make things happen. Sort of like when me and Rico started, people weren't booking us to do shows, so we started booking our own shows. You know what I mean? It's like that. Like, we gotta unite and figure it out ourselves. You know what I mean? We gotta do for self. And that's basically the whole message of the song. I'm talking about everything that's going on. I'm talking about police brutality. I'm talking about all of this. But the message for that song is unity, man. Let's unite. Let's unite. Let's help one another.
No, and like Alexis said, I invite anybody to, and yeah, the song's in Spanish, but if you can find the translations about it, because it's not only to the Latinx community, it's yeah. to also the Black community, the Latinx, every community that's dealing with this oppression,
yeah.
That it's not only happening in 2020, it's been happening for 400 years yeah. to everybody. A question I have about your career, you've been nominated for Grammys, you've performed with a crazy amount of artists, of so many, like, you know, known celebrities and all that good stuff. Your song Hot was actually in FIFA 14, which is awesome. And it's, yeah, that, I think that was the first time when I saw Los Racas, I was like, I know that name from FIFA. That's awesome. But how do you stay level-headed with your messaging? Because I think we've noticed a lot of people that, like you, start off and they want to have some kind of, like positive message. But then with all the mainstream stuff that happens to them, their message becomes just saturated and they just start writing songs that are just, you know, boring, I guess. How do you stay level-headed and making sure that you still come out with songs like you did with Libertad?
Man, it's just in me, man. I ain't gonna lie. I don't really think about it that much, you know what I mean? Like, it's in me, you know? It's like, we write a lot of songs about girls, a lot of songs about cannabis, and then I write a lot of songs about how I feel about my community, you know what I mean? It's like, you gotta have that balance. Tupac titles well, you know what I mean? Tupac titles well, you know, E-40, Buju Bantan, Kafu Bantan, El Rookie, you know, Nas, you know, all my favorite artists, man, taught me well, man. Like, you gotta be rounded, you know, well-rounded. You gotta talk about everything, you know. I'm not afraid on investing on, you know what I mean? Cause we independent, it's me investing money from my own pocket to make those visual come alive. It's not cheap, but I feel like I don't care, you know what I mean? I don't care if we don't get a million views, you know what I mean? It's like, this message need to be heard. And I'm gonna say it, you know what I mean?
And this is one of my last questions, Racadón. And lately I've been finding myself asking this to other people we've had, especially during the candidate series. You know, how did you process these last 4 years, you know, as a father, as an artist, mm-hmm. as Afro-Panameño? You know, we've seen, of course, attacks on a lot of our communities, right? Whether it's the travel ban from the Arab and African world, you know, the militarization of the border, and the attacks on DACA, right?
Yeah.
Dreamers, kids who were brought here, undocumented, you know, and I guess the events of last week, Wednesday, we're recording this Friday, January 25th, man, but seeing all those, you know, all the processing, all this, and seeing the images, I'm sure you've seen them,
yeah.
of the events in DC, man, how have you kind of kept your sanity and processed, you know, all this stuff?
Man, I I just want to become a better father, a better son, a better brother, a better friend. You know what I mean? Like that's how I'm processing it. You know what I mean? What, baby? Okay. You want me to wash her Bobby? She don't want her Bobby dirty.
You want it's all good, man.
It's all good. If you want, I can keep all this part, you know?
Yeah, man. It's good because, you know what I mean? Because it's like, bro, like sometimes as an artist, you gotta play this game like you're a superstar and you don't do regular things, you know what I mean? Like being with your daughter is not a superstar thing, you know what I mean? It's like we gotta change that mentality, you know what I mean? So like bro, no, you bro, that's the best thing you could do, you know what I mean? Be there for your kid, man. You know what I mean? If I gotta wash her clothes, fold her clothes, you know what I mean? All of those things, man, like that's what make you real, that's what make you a better person. All of these things is fictitious, is fake, you know what I mean? It's just smoke and mirrors, you know what I mean? And like that's answering your last questions too, you know. I just wanna make sure I become a better every day, you know what I mean? It's for my family, for my daughter, you know. She's motivating me to become a better artist, to become a better me, you know. So, you know, she's supposed to be the evolution of my generation, you know what I mean? I'm supposed to, you know, be better than my mother and my father, and then she's supposed to be better than me. So, you know, I need to help her get there, you know what I mean? Give her the right tools. And that's really how I've been taking this last 4 years, you know. It's like I can't really worry about too much what Trump is doing, you know what I mean? Like I can't, you know what I mean? I got to worry about what's going on, how I'm handling my business, you know, pretty much it, you know?
Ragadun, thank you so much for your time, for your message. We're excited to see what you have down the line, and we invite all of our listeners to go back and listen to all your music and your messaging. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you, brother. Respect. Really appreciate you guys. Libertad, libertad, libertad. Libertad, libertad, libertad.